So this is Krishna speaking. Prabhude jnana bhakti bhyam atman yaranda chinmai udet jnanuttama bhaktir bhagavat prema lakshana. Krishna prema, bhagavat prema. Krishna prema results from knowledge and bhakti. So this verse discusses sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana also. Translation. When the pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition and service, that means sambandha and abhideya, super excellent unalloyed devotion characterized by love of God, it is awakened, or prayojana, towards Krishna, the beloved of all souls. So, one way this verse can be summarized by saying this, that Krishna prema results from knowledge of Krishna and devotional service rendered to Krishna. The combination of knowledge of Krishna, acquiring knowledge of Krishna, rendering devotional service of Krishna, will put one in a position where he pleases Krishna. Then Krishna will bestow upon one the Swarup Shakti, which is Samvit Shakti and Ladini potency, will enter the soul's consciousness, and then prema will be aroused. There's a second translation for this verse. When the transcendental experience awakens by the means of knowledge and devotion, the highest devotion, which is symptomized by love for Krishna, awakens in the devotee's heart. Purport. Real knowledge, which means sambandha jnana, is nothing but knowledge of one's relationship to the Absolute. Real knowledge is identical with the knowledge of subjective natures, of chit, animate, and achit, inanimate, and Krishna and of their mutual relationship. In other words, sambandha jnana means to know that the soul, the body, Krishna, and the relationship. Here, mental speculation is not alluded to, since that is antagonistic to bhakti. The knowledge that embraces only the first 7 of the 10 principles is the knowledge of relationship. Here they're talking about dasamul, the 10 bases of knowledge, which we'll discuss in our notes. So the first 7 of those 10 points, which we'll go over, are sambandha jnana. Then the 8th is abhideya, and then 9th is abhideya, and 10th is prayojana. The substantive nature of the spiritual function, abhideya, inculcated by the science of devotion, hearing, chanting, meditation, tending his holy feet, worshipping rituals, making prostrations, doing menial service, practicing friendship, and surrendering oneself are identical with practicing the search for Krishna. In other words, abhideya tattva means shravanam kirtana vishnu smaranam padasevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakyam atma nivedanam. That's what was said there. In other words, searching for Krishna in these 9 ways. It is specifically described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that prayojana, or devotion, bhakti, characterized by love for Godhead, makes her appearance by being awakened by such knowledge and practice. So bhakti appears, prayojana is the culmination of sambandha and abhideya, knowledge and practice, devotional service. Such devotion is super excellent bhakti and is no other than the final object of attainment of all spiritual endeavor of the individual jiva. In other words, Krishna prema is the goal of life. That's the purport. Here, this is a familiar topic Bhakti Santa Saraswati is alluding to here, because Sri Krishna in his opening teaching to Brahma, he's explaining about Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana are three broad categories which are, you can say, expanded into the Dasa Mool. Dasa Mool is the 10 roots of knowledge, or the 10 bases of spiritual knowledge, which is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a separate little book called Dasa Mool Shiksha or something. But it's also he also describes that Dasa Mool, these 10 principles of truth, are described in Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala and Jiva Dharma and Chaitanya Shikshamrita, those places for sure. And it's interesting they call Dasa Mool because Dasa Mool is in Ayurveda, there's something called Dasa Mool. Mool means root. So Das means 10 roots, different roots of vegetables and different herbs. That when it's said that if you take this Dasa Mool, if you can get the right proper Dasa Mool properly made, that it will remove all diseases. Whatever disease you have in your body, it will not only remove your diseases, but by taking this Dasa Mool, it not only removes diseases, but it strengthens the body. So this verse, basically, I said all the points that we had in the verse. Well, I was going to explain about the ten points of Dasa Mool. First point, which the other 9 points of the Dasa Mool, or the Vedic truths, you could say, the roots of all Vedic truths. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Jiva Dharma, if one thoroughly understands and knows these 10 Dasa Mool, he will become cured from the. He will not only attain the goal of life very quickly, but he'll become cured from the disease. He'll be, in other words, it's just like Dasa Mool. You'll strengthen your bhakti, you'll strengthen your devotion, and become cured from the material disease by knowing these. So that's why he emphasized these oftentimes. In the Gaudiya Math and their what you might say their Bhakta program, they teach the Dasa Mool. It's part of it. They go through Jiva Dharma and they teach Dasa Mool. So if you see the Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam also has this Dasa Mool, but it's explained maybe a little bit more esoteric way. But you see the Dasa Mool has 10 subject matters. If you ever looked at this, the Bhagavatam. And the last one, I think, is the 10th subject matter. One's called Sarga, Sarga, Visarga, Sarga, Visarga. I can't remember. And then one of them is Summum Bonum. I think that the 10th canto is the Summum Bonum, which is basically parallels these 10. So the first of the Dasa Mool is that the Vedic scriptures are the only source of all authoritative wisdom. This is the basic assumption, and from that we get the next 9 points. Basically, there's the Dasa Mool is one mool. This is the basic mool. The others are called pramayas. There's not 9 pramayas. These 9 pramayas, plus which support this one primary point, and this one makes 10, and that's called the Dasa Mool. So these 9 other points are truths or maxims which prove the point of number 1 and which are contained in number 1. So these are all now Sambandha Gyan. So number 2 is that Sri Hari is the only source of wisdom, or Krishna is the only source of wisdom. Number 3 is that Krishna is omnipotent. In Sanskrit it says Sarva Shaktiman. He possesses unlimited shaktis. Omnipotent means unlimited potencies. That's number 3. First is that the Vedic scriptures are the only source of all, you know. This is like the Isopanishad. If you read Isopanishad, the introduction, Prabhupada hammers on this point about the Vedas are apurusheya, they're transcendental. They're beyond the 4 defects of limited man who commits mistakes and illusion and cheating and mistake, like that, imperfect senses. So number three is Krishna's omnipotent Sarva Shaktiman. Number four is Krishna is the ocean of universal bliss, Akhila Rasamrita Sindhu. Krishna is an ocean of bliss. Number five, the living entities are the parts and parcels of Krishna. Amshas, right? Jivamsa. Mvayivamsho Jivaloke. Number six is some living entities are conditioned by material nature. That means Nitya Bhatta Jivas. Nitya Bhatta. That's us. We're number six. Number seven, some of the living entities are liberated from material nature. We're not number seven. this is Nitya Mukta, right? Jivas. They're living entities. So all living entities are part and parcel of Sri Hari. That's number five. And some of those are eternally liberated and some are eternally conditioned. Number eight, the universe is nothing but a manifestation. The universe is nothing but the manifestation in oneness and difference with Sri Hari. This means a Chintya Beda Beda Tattva. And so many verses from Bhagavad Gita, etc. Mayam Tatamidam Sarvam Jagat Avyakti Murtina. Everything is within me, I am within everything. At the same time, I am outside of everything. So the universe is one and different from Sri Hari. Number two through eight, that's Sambandha. And number nine, this is Abhideya. This is the practice or the action or the movement or the activities. Number nine. Uncontaminated devotion is the only means of liberation for the conditioned souls. In other words, only by pure bhakti does one go back to Godhead. So that's Abhideya. Number 10, the only goal is Krishna Prem. So that's Prayojana. Love for Supreme Godhead is the only goal of knowledge and wisdom. So Javadharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that not only is Dasamul the medicine, but also it's given after the disease is gone for strengthening. So it's both a medicine and a tonic for strengthening. Any questions about Dasamul? Yeah, Dasamul is described in more detail in Jiva Dharma and in some detail in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. By Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They're in English also.
Yeah.
And then there's another book. It's called Dasamul Shiksha or something like that. Small book. I mean, basically, if you look at these things, and if you study Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially Adi Lila, and study Nectar Devotion, and other books that we have, just the books we have from Prabhupada and ISKCON, these are all the subjects there. Krishna's ocean of rasa, this is the whole Nectar Devotion. Sarva Shaktiman, this is all Adi Lila. It's basically the Bhagavad. If you say the Bhagavatam, all these different subjects are described there. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he's very systematic. He presents things in a very systematic way and develops the points. And some of the our books, things are kind of, you can find everything there, but you have to work a little bit to pull it all together. Well, just working with the books, you have to kind of see how it's not like the books aren't. It's not written like, okay, this is Dasamul, and then all the points. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has one book called Bhagavat Marichimala. Bhagavat Marichimala. And in that book, he analyzes the Srimad, that's also in English, Bhagavat Marichimala. And in that book, he analyzes the Srimad Bhagavatam basically by these 10 categories. And some other categories, but basically Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana, and takes all different verses from all over the Bhagavatam, and then, you know, he's really a professor. It's like he's presenting some courses. And he explains something like this, like, Shri is the only source of wisdom. He'll take that one point. And in this Bhagavad Mrishimala, then he'll quote all these words, 11th canto this, and 2nd canto, 3rd canto, Bhagavad Gita this, that. Then if you read all those things, and then you'll see how each of those verses and purports of all those different Bhagavatams describe and hammer repeatedly over this point, how Sri Hari is the, you know, is the source of wisdom. So he really has done a deep study. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has done a deep study of all the primary books and established the philosophy in a very systematic way. So these are very good supplementary books to work with Prabhupada's books, especially these kind of outline type books. Like Bhagavad Mrishimala is very indispensable for anyone who's studying. I can't say exactly what kind of bodies people had in Satyuga, but they were certainly healthy. Because the history of Ayurveda, the history is only a few thousand years old. Basically, Ayurveda came on at, you know, at, you can say, the end of Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga. You don't find anything earlier than that. I mean, you find some things like, you know, the Ashwini Kumars since the beginning of the universe would take the demigods, and, you know, this is in previous ages. In Satyuga, there was fighting with the demigods and demons. So there's principles of Ayurveda being employed even in the heavenly planets. But they say that the Ayurveda for the heavenly planets was only mantras. They would only use mantras. And Ayurveda for the earthly planet was herbs and things like that. And then they say the medicine of the asuras and demons is surgery, cutting, bloodletting and cutting. Human beings of the earthly planet, this type of, not devas, but manush, it's called manush, which we say human beings. Manush medicine is herbs and spices. Asura, rakshasa medicine is surgery and cutting. And devata medicine is mantra. So they had these, the demigods and demons would be fighting, and then Ashwini Kumars, they would dip them into some swimming pool, and they come up with brand new bodies. You read that in the Bhagavatam, right? So they say Ashwini Kumars were the fathers of Ayurvedic medicine. But all the medicine which we utilize now, and which are principles of which we as human beings are utilizing, is all coming from Charaka, Samhita, and Sushruta. Sushruta, who wrote their books a few thousand years ago. So on this planet, Ayurvedic medicine, as it's practiced everywhere in the whole world, it's only like a 3,000 to 4,000 or 5,000 year old practice. Which means it all manifested, all the principles and details and everything that they're... Although they say some of it, that Sushruta and Charak, they were like, you know, they were in meditation on Ashwini Kumar, dictated it to them. You know, they have these ideas. But they themselves wrote all these things down and experimented and utilized these things in Kali Yuga on different people they were doing. Like they have, in Ayurvedic medicine, they use leeches also, bloodletting. Whatever we have in our hand, we should use it for serving Krishna and be grateful for whatever we have. We should use it.